January 7th, 2007. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
And another. Piling up. And up. And up. Becoming one sound, one soul, one spirit. Little, the day rises into the sky. And space expands. Eyes filling up with tears. Accepting what I am, knowing what I was born. Grateful for my fate, from the bottom of my heart.
From Pedro Show. Happy New Year. It's our first show for 2007. Hey, Brother Matt.
Howdy.
You're just back from Venezuela.
Yeah, that was quite a New Year's. Bitch in New Year's.
Yeah, tell us about your trip.
Well, I just went to the island of Margarita, and it's really, it's bitching. It was right on the beach. And didn't do too much except hang out at the beach. And there's beautiful women in Venezuela, so all my pictures are pretty much of just chicks on the beach.
And how long were you there?
I was there like 8 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Was it Econo?
Totally Econo. Got like 2,800 bolivars to a dollar. And beers.
Bolivars, like 50, that's their
money.
Yeah,
yeah, about Simon. 50 cents for a beer.
Wow.
And a bunch of places I could just walk to right on the beach to eat
it. Exchange the currency would be like 50 cents.
It was probably a little better than that. If you exchange at the bank, you got like 2,100. Black market got 28. So that was cool. There was some dude kind of taking care of us down there.
So what, you have like a stack of monies?
Man, I had millions of bolivars.
That's how it was when I was in Istanbul. It was like, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand or so. I think they dropped 6 zeros since I was there, but it was like you'd have a big pile.
You know how much gas costs?
What?
60 bolivars for a liter. It's like 10 cents a liter for gas.
So about 40 cents a gallon.
Yeah. Crazy. You see all
you hear
these
that
big
laughing
old...
back there. That's our guest, Mr. Tom Watts.
Welcome. Yes, you see all these old, like, 70s bomber muscle cars and shit just sucking the gas up. They fill it up for, like, $4 or $5.
Because they drill, pump a lot of oil.
Yeah. Hugo maintains the prices, so every gas station got the same price. No little variation in it.
Okay.
So it was cool. Yeah.
What about chow?
Chow was, I tried to keep to the seafood because I was on the beach.
Yeah.
And that was some pretty good stuff. So chow was kind of unamazing at the place, you know, but it was decent. It was a more rum-oriented diet.
Mayas?
Yeah. Kill the bacteria.
They had Mayas? This killer Anniversario. You don't even want to mix any waste on mixers on it. You know, just keep it real.
What about music?
Music was mostly like kind of thumping Latin techno gangster rap.
What about weather?
Weather was pretty consistent. It was about, like, in the mid to upper 80s to the mid-70s.
What about humidity?
Every day it would rain a little bit. It would get a little bit humid sometimes, but
Florida?
It was never like, oh, my God.
Okay.
You know, so it was always pretty comfortable. It was fun. We were at a cool place. There was, like, 10 little pads all clustered around this pool, and people from all around the world.
Were you ever on the mainland?
Just in Caracas.
Just to fly in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, they don't make it easy. It was like a 3-plane trip to get there, 4 planes to get home. Got jacked around, had to hang out in Puerto Rico an extra day.
Okay.
But overall, Venezuela, Margarita Island was righteous.
How far off the coast?
It was kind of like probably a little Catalina-sized.
20 miles.
Probably a little bit farther than Catalina. It was like a 40-minute flight. But... like, next time I go, I'm going to fly to Toronto first, which is weird to go the other way, but Toronto will fly directly onto this island.
Ah, two flights.
Yeah, so, and it'd be cool to trip around up there, a little extra leg to the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bro's still down there, Krita. It was fun traveling with him. We worked together back in KXLU days.
Yeah.
So, he just got done working on Pirates of the Caribbean for a few years, so he'd been hanging around here in Caribbean. So now he's going to just chill on some islands down there. He's in Barbados now and then Antigua. So.
Wow, congrats
cheers.
On your journey.
Yeah, thanks.
Tom Watson's brother Will was with us last tour in December, back here, the Parallel Universes tour. He wanted to see what it was like. I think he spent the last week with us, right?
Yeah.
It's time for all the hell rides.
Yeah. He joined us for the trip from Vienna to Copenhagen.
Oh, cool.
And it was, you know, he got a taste of what it's like, I think.
One of them was like a 20-hour hell ride.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
from Vienna to Copenhagen.
He slept a lot, I think. I think I had to drive. Well, and Jasper.
Yeah, we had a Dutchman with us.
Yeah.
For the last part.
Had a lot of driving over there, huh?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, the Learjet was out of...
Yeah. The bullet trains weren't working for us either, so...
Although Tom did a week worth of train touring after us with Red Crayola.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Tom's been playing with the Red Crayola for 13 years. Uh-huh. And so him and Mayo did a twofer with a drums on a CD.
Yep. John McIntyre programmed beats and put it on a disc, and we just played along to that. It turned out good. I think we kept it loud, so it was still a rock show. You know, we didn't play down to the beats. We played up to the beats.
Yeah. And Tom even played bass with Steve Shelley's side band,
Dollar
Guitar in Paris.
Yeah. In Paris.
Because he happened to be playing the day before. And so
It was
with
fun.
Red Crayola.
Yeah, quite a variety on that trip.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good. Enjoyed it. Saw a lot of people, friends, and played
first
some
time
fun
he
shows.
Played in Norma Domes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. I would do it more. No, I think we had probably the cream of the crop, you know, kind of touring situation. Great, you know, great crews and just run really well. And
our own gigs,
great.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Men had four gigs where we just played little clubs. And, in fact, we didn't have enough songs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Asking us back for encores. Mm-hmm.
We're an opening band.
No.
We played the songs faster, too, by that time, so we cut off some extra minutes.
No, but the band's new, you know. Going into this, we only had three gigs. Those three in September with M. Ward.
Mm.
So now, and me and Tom and Raul last week for New Year's, we were in Boulder, and we played... with his band Rose Hill Drive. That was some cool young guys in way into 70s.
Oh, you said like Grand Funk style.
Yeah, right.
Well, they did the whole Band of Gypsies record.
Right.
Yeah.
I said, but, you know, I mean, they looked the part, everything. I was like, where'd you guys learn this? The guy goes, my dad. Which is something I would have never heard as a young man.
Yeah.
I learned my rock and roll from my pop.
Yeah.
But they're really good musicians. They were really nice to us, and we played two gigs at the Boulder Theater, which came in the day after the blizzard. Tom did the drive-in and a four-wheel drive. A little bit of a whiteout coming in to Boulder from Denver to airport, but we were really blessed.
Yeah, we were
lucky. It was
like
this, with no clouds in the sky, all blue, but snow piled.
Yeah, all white.
Very dry. I got my lips bled from chap.
Oh, wow.
Quick.
Yeah.
So, but it was a good thing. Good gig for us. So we've done now, I think, 25 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 21 gigs. We've done 21 gigs now. So, and they've all been successes. So I really look forward to playing this in a minute. But Tom brought some music here.
I brought some music.
We're going to start here with the Tom.
Yeah, another Tom.
Right. Tell us something about it.
Well, it's a new Tamberlane record entitled Songs and Other Things. Apparently, it's some music that he'd recorded a while over the last few years and finally found a place to put it out on Thrill Jockey Records in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And so
Tom's been with his Crayola. He's been with Drag City.
Yeah.
They're kind of associated.
Yeah, they're kind of a, you know, this tight-knit little world.
Chicago scene.
But it's a great record. I'm just now getting into it. Caroline bought it in Colorado, and I'm just getting used to it, so I'm all excited to like listening to it.
Caroline came with us to Boulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't know Tom Verlaine had a band called Television in the 70s with Richard Hell. And Richard Hell jumped ship for his own Voidoids, and Tom kept going. He gets Television back.
Mm-hmm.
Together for reunion tours, but mainly he's been doing solo, and he's playing with Patti Smith now.
Yeah, he's collaborating with people here and there.
So New York City guy. I think he's originally from Delaware, maybe.
Yeah.
So Tom, here's some. Tell us why'd you pick this tune?
I don't know. I picked. I like all the tunes, but there's this one kind of has a nice anthemic kind of guitar playing in it that I like. It's
really noticed slow. His solo stuff is nothing like Television.
Yeah, it's kind of slow. Has this kind of seems like he really tries to write a song. You know, every song is really constructed, and there's a there's pop elements in it, but it's also really spare, restrained guitar playing. You know, it's not very flashy. It's kind of nice.
Guitar playing.
You
look for him?
Sure.
When you were younger?
Sure. That was a huge influence. I mean, for sure.
Okay. Watt from Pedro Show. Here's Tom Verlaine.
on a breaking branch. The sun will move out from the cloud and whirly swirl, magnetic wave. One day I'll realize the earth is in the sky. Said much, but when next we meet, I'll untie this tongue of mine. Oh, to be summoned by unseen and sparkling eyes, perfectly sweet. It brings a great increase. There is no word that is not praise.
Watt from Pedro Show. That's Kobayashi Maru, a band from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, doing I Only Have Eyes for You. And why are we laughing? Can you eat it? Melt Banana before that. Here's a song that Tom picked. They're a Tokyo band, right? Yeah, we played with them. We'll get into this, but Medicine Man is not the first band I had with Tom Watson. I played with them in John and Terry Show and the Pair of Pliers. And I think it was the Pair of Pliers that played with Melt Banana in Orlando.
Yeah, right.
The Sapphire Supper Club. And they actually played Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs with us. But like what Tom was telling you, why the music was playing, that the stage was so shallow we couldn't really be next to it. We were, yeah, it was a line dance. So, and, you know, it was new for them. It's kind of a trippy version. They were way into it. They knew all about the Minutemen. In fact, a lot of these cats, in Europe too, I've noticed foreign people know a lot about music going way back. But obviously U.S. too, these cats, Rose Hill Drive. They didn't know about some bands, though.
Yeah.
Some older bands I was talking to them about. They didn't know much about as the punk bands. But even some 70s stuff they didn't know of. So, but still, if you would have asked me as a teenager what was going on in the 50s, you know, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, that's about it. Elvis. I just didn't know. I didn't even know about bebop until punk, until Pettibone. Oh, well, that was a Ketchup Mess, right? That song.
Ketchup Mess.
With the trippy intro.
Off of Scratch and Stitch.
Scratch and Stitch.
Right.
Right.
Or Scratch or Stitch.
Or Stitch. With the third. You know what? I found out about Melt Banana from a CD that you gave me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it had a bunch of songs on it. Maybe it was their first one.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, do you know the name of the first
that
one?
That was called...
it had tons of songs. They were really short. Well, whatever. Before that, we had a Scottish band called Position Normal. And a tune called Gotta Be Good. And we started off with Tom Verlaine and The Earth Is in the Sky. Oh, that's a juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Moon's waning, right? It was full. I think we're in Boulder.
Yeah. Full in the third, I think.
Oh, you got to watch it when you put shit down. Maybe use a rug because it's coming over your mic. Just radio business.
Yeah.
Real life shouldn't have to be so gentle.
You hear my stomach
growl.
Me,
the most crude motherfucker alive. Telling you how to be soft, gentle.
Be gentle.
Don't be gentle with me.
Please don't be gentle with me.
Yeah. Like, you know, on the tour we did I tell this on the radio where I shit my pants?
Oh, in Germany? Yeah. At the gas station?
Right.
Tell us again.
Yeah.
No, but Tom had to get the key. You know, I was pumping the gas in the boat.
Yeah. And the van's
all
locked up.
Same time I started pumping to Levi, the Sorote. And it was like, well, it wasn't on purpose. It was like a fart was coming, and I thought it was safe.
It was like gas and fuel.
Oh, man. But luckily, their Rastoffs have heads.
They did on purpose,
you know,
this day.
With showers. Some guy in a lab coat.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Tom, there's only one it was German, so one Schlüssel for the boat, right? One key. Yeah. And he wants to get in the boat, and he comes up to me, right?
Well, I didn't know what had happened.
Yeah, because I had Levi.
Like, what's up? Where'd Mike go? Where is he?
I was heading towards the lab coat man. And so like, Tom like catches Boris. Me, and he's, I remember words being said.
Yeah. This glazed look on his face. Kind of, not now, man.
How's the mild look, you know, like straight like, through him.
Like, I wasn't there. I turned and waited.
Then Tom got, and then we get to Milano a couple days, and he gets the excellent tip-off at the desk that there's a laundromat. You know, real cheap.
Yeah, real trip. Very quick, very cheap.
It's where a few shops are.
Yeah.
turns out the place is some giant fucking mall. Okay, and it's a dry cleaner, and the lady pinches, you know, feels on my pants. She goes, oh, about 3-4 days. 60 euros. More than a fucking penny bill.
You know, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. So, why? Well, yeah, 3 or 4 days. Real cheap, real quick.
They're gonna, like...
So, we held on till Austria.
Yeah, kept those pants in a bag.
Double bag. Double sack.
Ziploc. Cinch sack.
You know, we should go back.
Like leaving that sack on top yeah. of customs.
Yeah. I didn't,
yeah, right.
I didn't snuggle with that bag.
Right here.
That wasn't used as a pillow in the back or anything.
Don't look in there, sir.
Yeah. We didn't use that as a, you know, a sifter. I should start off with where I met Tom. You know, D. Boone had this idea. God, we got to go up to Hollywood to see a gig on a weekday. The first band starts so late, we got to get back home for work. So let's do gigs here at the Star Theater over in Pacific and Mount Santa Cruz. And I know I've talked about this before, but it was the Star Theater, and D. Boone changed the name to Union. We had gigs there. This is where I met Tragic Comedy, Dirk Vandenberg, the man who took the picture of the Double Nickels thing cover. But this is also where I meet Tom. He's in a band, Manhattan Beach band, called Toxic Shock. And it had members that would, all of them, Pertnair?
Well, Bruce on drums was replaced by Rob Holtzman.
That's right, but I think it was Bobby when we...
Yeah, by that time I think we're already... Well, we played in Capone's with
that's right.
With Bruce on drums. That was the first...
That's right, well, that's actually before the Star Theater. But yeah. Bobby's where I met, him at Star, I remember. And Tom played with his band called Toxic Shock. You can hear him on the Keith Wright's A Harley Happy Squid sampler.
Yeah.
And then another song. I played both of them on the show before. But, they actually played with the Minutemen at Capone's. I think I was on L. I didn't play one real part to any of the songs because I was tripping my brain. The only time ever time I played all plays like that. I remember D. Boone and Georgie starting songs and me just... hitting on the strings, making noise
were
with them. And then they'd stop, I'd put my hand and mute the strings, and then go, but I never played any parts. I didn't know what the parts were. I didn't know what the strings felt like, them big red, thick licorice, you know, them ropes. Then the sound coming out of the amp was like toothpaste. I thought it was like big toothpaste coming out. And by me just stopping on the strings and stuff, I was chopping it into different lengths.
Yeah.
And then wasn't the best telling them. I haven't done it since early 80s, but this was, I had a run of about, you know, since the mid-70s. And it got kind of more and more strengthening in speed as the years, and by this time, you know, I remember after the gig, the 22nd Street, that hill, right? It's a pretty massive hill for Pedro. It ain't Chovy, but it's close. Up and down, running it just to wear this shit off. And it would not wear off. You drink 50 beers. And good old days. Yeah. But that gig, we played with you.
Yeah.
So it's over here on like 23rd by where the dispensary was. The Army
Capone's.
Capone's. It was called the 3 B's. The Blue Viking had different names. It was, somebody told me it was cursed because some woman was murdered on the roof. That's the problem. The guy who owned it, when it was called Capone's, ended up closing it and becoming born again. So, and now I think it's some kind of, it goes through different, like, clothes shops for skaters or whatever. I don't know. I've never been in it, but I see it. You know, I pedal. It's on my pedaling route. So
Manhattan's your homeland?
Yeah. I grew up in the South Bay, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach.
Mm. Actually, he's born in New York City because we toured there and Tom pointed us to the hospital.
Yeah, hospital. Doctor's Hospital. It's not Doctor's Hospital anymore, but...
It was on the east side, by the East River.
Yeah.
And maybe in the mid or the 20s or something?
Well, a little... maybe 23rd, something like that.
Yeah. But then he came here earlier. His pop was... is an artist.
Illustrator. Yeah.
And it came out to Cali, and he spent a lot of... So he wasn't really connected. The way I met him was through the punk scene. And Toxic Shock went on how long? You got to watch on the table.
About two years, you know.
2 years.
It morphed.
And you only did them two songs on the Squid.
Yeah.
And then it turned into Slovenly. Actually, it was called Slovenly Peter, and it was based on a character in a book.
Yeah, there was a children's rhyme book from Germany entitled Struvel Peter, which is fairly common there. It's a folk tale for children that... to keep them from doing the
bad
things.
Bump.
Yeah, and like, but very severe little stories. That,
is this him?
That's the guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's on their Riposte.
Yeah.
Album. Riposte album.
1987.
Yeah. They started pracking at the flag place on Artesia.
Yeah.
And me and D. Boone had really gotten a new alliance going, so we... What's that record called? It's a 12-inch with four songs.
Even So.
Even So. We put
that's
out
the first record, 83.
Yeah. Right. We put that out. We, I mean, we had already met them a couple years earlier playing with them, but we really got to know them better at that prac bed. Flag used, although we weren't pracking there anymore. They'd be there doing the prac. And, in fact, the Black Flag guys would had tease them. Because there was a wave band called the Haircut 100, so for some reason they were like the Haircut.
Well, we were, you know, we were the suburban kids, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, and I also think they just were. They called a lot of shit Poser and New Wave.
Yeah,
that was not de rigueur.
Well, they called us art rock, but it wasn't like in a nice way.
Well, you guys like the fall, right?
Yeah, we love the fall.
And those
and
guys,
stuff.
Anything from England at that time, they were kind of bumming on. I play them pop group. Although Greg did like the first pop group album. But me and Henry were talking about this on the his TV show a couple weeks ago. And he said, yeah, man, I was only safe with the Stooges and then Grateful Dead. He's like, because Greg would call everybody posers. And, so, but it was only teasing because they really liked these guys. And we did, too. And... put out Even So in 83. But then the band leaves.
No, we
goes
did too.
To NorCal.
We did after the original style.
That was
album.
Done down here too?
Yeah, that was here. And
because
also...
I don't think we put it out though until you're up there.
Really?
Yeah.
It was around that time, I guess. 84 maybe it came out, yeah. We recorded it all at the same time. And then we put out the EP first.
That's right.
And then the album. We actually added stuff to the album to fill it out.
Right. Right.
Hey, I remember playing it when I was at KXLU. That was the time I was at KXLU, 83 through 85.
Yeah. And Steve Anderson is singer, Tim Plowman on guitar, and they had Scott Ziegler. He was the different guy from Toxic Shock.
Yeah.
And then that role, Tom would switch off bass and guitar. Him and Scott would switch, which was kind of like the only other band I saw do that a lot was the Brainiacs. There was an L.A. band called the Brainiacs. And their bass and guitar would switch off. But then when, 85, 86, you guys moved up to San Francisco?
San Francisco from, I think, like 84 to 88 I was there.
So 84 you move up.
Yeah, I think about
that's why
that
I'm
time.
Thinking that album comes out
right
when you guys
time.
Are up there.
Yeah.
And Firehose even took them on tour. I think we called it the Haircut
Tour. There was a Haircut
Tour.
There was also a James Worthy Tour.
Yeah, there was a James Worthy Tour, that's right. But James Worthy, I think, was only a leg?
No, the Haircut was just the West Coast. And then the James Worthy, we did the whole U.S.
Okay. So the Haircut was... And, yeah, I remember Nanny did the shirt, and it was like a close-up of the scissors.
Just going through
down
the hair,
hair
follicles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also the finger.
That
know,
was. Now, these
scissors.
Cats, they had a weak-ass boat. It was like a Chevy Beauville that was not
Beauville
in 30. Good shape.
That's all I could afford. But I know.
It was beat up, and it was maybe not even a good model to have a beat-up one of. I remember Georgie spending a lot of time through a Universal real quick.
Yeah.
Had some electrical shorts. I remember us trading passengers, Richard Bonney.
And
was it Haircut or was it James
that was
Worthy?
James Worthy.
Yeah, where they trade off a few days. I don't know. Did we take you and then...
No, I think Rob and Richie.
We talked Bobby
Hull.
That's right. That's right. We took him and then Bonney was in there and it was disturbed him that they would wake up and drink rum and whiskey. No, it was too early for that.
Turkey.
The Turk, yeah, talking turkey.
Turkey.
Talking turkey.
Yeah.
So he came back into our boat. But they were good tours.
Yeah.
I love playing with them. They really had an interesting style. So it went to what? 89?
Our last record is 92.
92, oh.
But I returned from San Francisco to L.A. in 88, and
continued. Now the band's like two different cities. Channels.
But I would go up there and play shows and then record certain records and then...
Plagu?
Yeah, I did some of that, subtle plague. But
remember,
you know,
that was happening in the late 80s.
Yeah, we played shows together.
In fact, I met one of them cats.
Benji, Chris.
He moved to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I saw him in New Zealand.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Maybe the brother.
Patrick?
The brother in the band.
Yeah.
But then the band kind of dissolved. 92 is the last album. When's the last gig?
93, probably. But I was already starting Overpass at that time.
And Overpass was two cats from...
Yeah. Slovenly. Three-fifths of
Bobby
Slovenly.
And Scott.
Yeah, me, Rob, and Scott. We did two records together.
And tour?
We toured a couple times on our own. It was
pretty
grueling.
There's an album, too. I've played some songs.
Yeah, we have two records, two albums.
Two albums.
One's on Smells Like Records, and one's on New Alliance.
And one's on New Alliance, that's right.
And we also did a song for that, Our Band Could Be Your Life compilation.
Right.
Black Sheep, I think.
Black Sheep? No, that was
Fake
Barlow.
Contest. We did Black Sheep and Fake Contest.
Right,
and
but
they
Lou
ended up
has
using,
done it.
Yeah, so they used Fake Contest.
Right. And then around Overpass waning days... By this time, Tom is living in Hermosa Beach. And the Overpass wanes, and then he hooks up with Mayo Thompson in the Red Crayola. He's been playing with them for 13 years.
Well, the way it worked was that, actually, I met Mayo Thompson from working in art galleries here, and that's what I do for a living. But Mayo produced the final Overpass record. And
right,
that's when we started... working together, and he moved out from Germany to L.A., and we kind of hit it off, and, you know, of course, I was this huge Red Crayola fan, so to connect with him was a huge, turning point for me, and to start playing music with him was, you know, kind of a dream. So.
You became curator of the songs.
Exactly.
It's hard for Mayo to remember his own songs. I mean, the guy's been
song
going
handler.
Since, what, 65, 66?
66,
wow.
first record.
Okay, so Tom is like kind of the repository.
Yeah, archivist.
Better than suppository.
Yeah. Conservator.
So, like, yeah, when he went on to bring out a tune, hey, Tom, how's that go? Tom recollects it.
To the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and in fact, with Mrs. Mendoza, we're going to play one a little later, but with Tom singing.
Yeah, cool.
It's funny, he knows the music pretty well, but he doesn't know all the words, so he ran him past Mayo to see if they were right, and... Of course, Mayo forgot the words, too. So what did he say?
Those are the words now. Those are the words.
That's what they are now.
I couldn't really hear them on the record. It's too hard to learn them.
It's a great album called Soldier Talk that's coming out on CD.
It'll be coming out this year on Drag City.
Excellent.
Finally.
Excellent record, man.
1980.
It's just a Mayo and this drummer named Jesse Chamberlain. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Piece. And then at the last tune is a big jam with the Paraubu guys in that era.
Yeah. Yeah, he was also playing with Paraubu.
Kraus, Thomas, and...
Ravenstein.
Herman.
Tom Herman, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so this begins 13 years. He's still playing with them. But for a lot of the years, I don't know, when did you get... They get George Hurley on board.
Yeah.
When was this?
This is like 95,
okay,
96.
So a year or two after Firehose, they get George Hurley to play with Red Crayola. And he played with them pretty much until just maybe a year or two ago.
Oh.
Maybe a year and a half ago, he did a last tour in Italy.
Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah, we had him on board for a lot of live shows. He didn't record with us as much.
Yeah,
But unfortunately, but
I think he's only on one record, right?
He's only on a couple tunes on certain records. I mean, I could point them out to you. And he's on an EP called Amor in Language.
And you're the one who brought him in, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was a contact. I'd known George for years.
Yeah, sure, I know.
So, and it was kind of a really good fit. because of some of the earlier music, like Jesse Chamberlain's playing, and
yeah.
and George kind of, they had a certain, they're very unusual players, you know.
Right,
they
right.
had something in common, and so
also there was a
work.
Twofer thing with McIntyre.
Yeah, we did two drums for a while.
How far back does McIntyre go?
McIntyre and I started at the same time. In fact, John, David Grubbs, and Jim O'Rourke had a group called Gaster del Sol.
Yeah, right.
And when the Red Crayola finally reformed as Red Crayola with a K and recorded the first record for Drag City in 93.
And you asked people because he was playing
right,
with English.
When he came, and it was more or less David Grubbs who organized that. They recorded in Chicago and with Steve Albini, and it was John playing drums on that first record, which I brought on vinyl.
We'll play that a little later.
But at that point, he was the, you know, the first first drummer of that new era
right,
of
right.
band. You know, and then I didn't do the basic tracks with them. I did overdubs
okay.
in L.A. So it was only later that year that I met all those guys and we played a tour in Japan.
Yeah, but you were working... Well, we're going to get to your solo record, yeah. but there were some Gaster guys
sure.
involved with that.
Yeah, but that came...
O'Rourke.
As a result of meeting them through the
Connect.
Red Crayola thing, yeah.
So that's more like late 90s.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Toxic Shock. You just guys were just dudes who grew up together.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't
really
that bad in the recycler.
Really, the way it worked was that you know, the community we were in was pretty small, and I'd been playing music in different contexts. You know, usually kind of freeform prog music.
Oh yeah,
you
went to Holland to study.
Yeah, I did like some electronic music when I got right when I. This was after high school though.
Yeah,
so
right,
before
right.
that, I was like just playing guitar with different friends of mine, and so I was already like a musician, you know, of some sort. You know, I'd already been playing in bands, and then Steve and Scott and Bruce had this group, Toxic Shock, with a drummer or another bass player named Krusty, who I don't know why she was removed from her post, but they knew that I played guitar, and they asked if I'd play the bass. So.
You were the host with the most posts.
Exactly, exactly. The most posts. At least more posts. So, I mean, that kind of came about out of just being in the same high school and playing music and wanting to play more, you know. And,
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we'd have parties and play gigs, you know, in houses and stuff. And it wasn't, you know, there were no clubs. We didn't play clubs. Our first gig ever was with you at Capone's, you know. And
Maricosta,
yeah, Costa.
Stangs.
The Stangs.
Yeah, you know we're
yeah.
we're kind of coming to the end of the first hour.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of spiel, but this is all interesting. Or like Richard Barber mentioned, said that might be very interesting.
But
not
to me.
What a call! That's a Rod Ashen tone. I got a call from him. Last night,
Robert
right, I did this gig.
I'm kidding.
No, Ronnie asked me. And right, I played the gig. I'll get into that gig. He asked me about it. It was hilarious. And I'm conked, and there's this call. And it's Ron Ashton. And he goes, I know you're conked, but I just had to call because you called last week for New Year's, and I had to return it. And go back to bed, baby. Okay, Ronnie.
Yeah, wake up and go to sleep.
That was a dream, and then I thought about it really hard while I was pedaling this morning. Okay, we're at the end of the first hour of the January 7, 2007 edition Watt for Peter Show. Hang tight for hour two. January 7, 2007, it's the second hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Eu já estou com o pé nessa estrada. Qualquer dia a gente se vê. Sei que nada será como antes amanhã. Que notícias me dão dos amigos? Que notícias me dão de você? Sei que nada será como está amanhã e depois de amanhã. Resistindo na boca da noite um gosto de sol. Um domingo qualquer.
secrets, come pay for the odds.
Strike that from the press nor from the public mind once it's planted there. That's the evil.
Okay, Watt from Pedro Show. That was Bebe with Corrupted. Slovenly before that with The Way Untruths Are. The Riposte album.
1987.
Right. And, we didn't...
20 years ago. Damn.
Yeah, and we didn't discuss how Tim Plowman... Because he wasn't in Toxic Shock.
Yeah.
How did he come aboard?
He and I were doing some guitar and piano stuff before Toxic Shock, doing weird progressive.
So you brought him in.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing some odd musics. And also, another reason why I was into this electronic music that I got into after high school was Tim and I were into a lot of the more conceptual musics.
And that's
like
when you went to Amsterdam.
Yeah, Utrecht, actually.
Utrecht, right, yeah. Right. I'm sorry.
And then when
what
Rob...
What was the name of the school?
The Institute for Sonologie. The Institute of Sound, Study of Sound, I guess. Translation.
Right, and a...
Part of the university. Vinko Globokar?
Yeah.
He is someone I met later. He wasn't actually teaching there.
Okay, because I played some of him on my show.
Yeah, trombone,
guy.
Yeah.
Great.
Intense.
Great guy.
Gottfried Koenig was one of the main instructors there. He was a Stockhausen collaborator and a couple other fairly well-known electroacoustic composers, you know.
And you hadn't been back to Holland?
No, I've been
there
a couple times.
Men.
I've
yeah.
been there a couple times in the, over the years.
But you never played there. You were
no.
telling me those
yeah.
were your first gigs.
Yeah, I actually in 81 I recorded, or 80, I recorded a record with this composer named Richard Lehrman at the Milky Way, the Melkweg.
Melkweg.
And that came out on Folkways Records. That was the only time I'd actually
So you wouldn't just stay
there.
In Utrecht, you'd go to Amsterdam?
Yeah, you know, everything's so close, you can train around, see the shows.
And then you came back, and that's when you start doing...
Slovenly became... Toxic Shock became Slovenly Peter,
right.
And Tim joined the group, and we were doing these, free-form things that we started reading these... Steve would read these poems over, and then after we exhausted the book, I guess, we decided to have Rob Holzman play drums, and that's when it became Slovenly, and that's when...
Yeah, dropped
the
Peter.
Yeah, we got rid of the Peter. And did our own songs. And
before middle age did it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we started out the second hour with... I Was Bad, Red Crayola, off the new EP.
Yeah, Red
and
Gold
And then we
EP.
Started off with Joyce, a Brazilian yeah. band, with Nada Será Como Antes. So that's Portuguese. Got it.
Portuguese, yeah.
Very sad about Scott.
Yeah,
after
Scott passed
overpass,
away.
Yeah, he yeah. passed away in the late 90s.
Yeah. Well, three
or
years
early
ago.
Early 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And, but he lived pretty hard, you know.
Yeah.
Burned pretty brightly. Super amazing, you know, creative guy, you know.
Ended up being a chef, right?
Great chef, knew how to cook food.
Knew how to challenge.
Knew how to eat food. Yeah, he
knew
was
how to
great.
Shovel it.
He was great. Good friend, you know, one
yeah.
of a kind, you know. It's hard to lose friends like that.
Yeah, it's terrible. Plowman doesn't do music anymore.
He plays guitar here and there, you know. I talked to him
still lives
not
up
that
in
common.
The Bay Area.
But, yeah, in Berkeley, and he's got a gig at Berkeley University there, so he's a you know, working man, and he's got a child and a wife that I haven't met, unfortunately. I'm up in San Francisco, you know, three times a year, you know. And
we were last there in September at the Fillmore with M. Ward.
And I try to get a hold of him, but he's got his life, you know.
Yeah. And where's Steve Anderson?
Steve's in San Francisco also, and,
okay.
and I see him from time to time. And
he has a baby, too.
He has a baby, and he's with Heidi Peterson, and kind of it's always great to see him, but it's also too rare. You
and
know?
Bobby's down here.
Rob's down here in Hermosa Beach.
He's been playing with some bands.
Yeah, he's actually gotten back into playing drums, and I'm kind of glad about that because he's an amazing drummer, but I know he's the idea of being in a band has sort of run its course for him. So it's nice that he's still, you know, getting out there and playing a little bit.
He was with Shock. That's where I met him. But then he quits to join Saccharin.
He was originally in Saccharin Trust, but Rob and I actually played in a band before that. That was like kind of like a party band in Hermosa Beach, and you know, and Mark Vidal played bass.
But he's only in Sac a couple years.
Yeah, he's on the Pagan Icons
right,
record.
That's right. Not even a couple years.
But they toured with Black Flag a few times.
Yeah, twice with him, because they get Tony
Cicero. Yeah. But then you know, like 82, I guess 80 or so. That's when he joined Slovenly, and
right.
Like, but he was my buddy from junior high school. We, you know, we listened to music all the time together.
Slovenly never had another drummer except for him.
It's only Rob. Yeah. Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah, you picked this song, Joyce.
Yeah. Oh, I love this record by Joyce. She's a singer from the 70s from Brazil, and, you know, has a certain amount of acclaim down there, fairly, you know, obscure here, but really beautiful music and amazing arrangements. And it's
You've never been down there, have you?
No, not yet. I want to. It's nice to hear music sung in another language, too, because... it becomes so much more of an instrument rather than some
I've got
literal.
Some Crayola records where Mayo sings in German.
Yeah, he went through a little phase like that, yeah. He speaks German.
Now this EP, Georgie ain't on it.
Red Gold is all John McIntyre. In fact, all of Introduction, which came out earlier in 2006, and Red Gold is all John McIntyre on drums.
Yeah,
so and he recorded and produced
Georgie's
the record.
On the record before that, a couple songs.
He was on... bits and pieces of things, you know. It's kind of, you know, cut and paste.
And he was playing electric drums.
He played some electronic drums and some acoustic drums. We recorded an EP in 2005, which has yet to see the light of day, but that's Georgie all over it, you know.
Oh, wow.
So
great.
It's was recorded down here in Pedro at Bob's place. I don't know Bob's last name, but he's down on Mesa and 15th, something like that. Anyway, he's got a little practice place that has some recording facilities. So he still has all the master hard disk tracks of that record. So we're trying to figure that out.
Man, too bad you don't have a tape of. We could play it on the show or something.
Well, I can track something down.
Yeah, please. Because I'll let it see the light of day.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Matt's going to do the spin cycle and... Tommy here is going to collaborate with him on guitar, and then we'll get back to the history lesson.
Yeah, I'm honored. So I think we're going to start a little spacey and get a little ethnic and worldly and jazzy and see what becomes of that.
All right.
Thank you.
you, Tom Watson, for joining the Spin Cycle today.
Thank you, Tom Watson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Matt.
Thank you.
Hi, Kristen.
Hello, thank
Hello.
You.
Hello. Welcome.
Kristen hasn't been on the radio show in a while, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A long time. Get all these dealios.
Oh, yeah. We're all tripping. Okay, what'd you think of that, Tom?
It's weird.
You into that?
That's good.
Right.
It was quiet. It was quiet.
Good.
Quiet,
cool
one. Quiet, yeah. Can you eat it?
Quiet, yeah. Yeah.
Tom, you met these Chicago guys, and then Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Or you met Mayo through the art, and mm-hmm. then hooked up with the Chicago guys. Then you went and recorded mm-hmm. your solo album. Start work on that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to play some next hour, but
yeah.
I'm interested.
That was a process, you know, something that kind of like I'd done all kinds of like little guitar songs and parts. Like, you know, where I didn't have a band, so I just put stuff on tape. And this was after Overpass. And
Overpass is finished, and then Mayo.
Yeah. And then the Red Crayola happens, you know, from time to time during the mid-90s, and you know, I would tour with them and record records, but there's also time that I spent just working on music. And so there's a collection of songs and bits and pieces that I started just compiling and put it together. And Mayo helped me sort out certain parts of that. And
O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke helped yeah. out quite a bit in piecing things together. And actually
I actually
playing.
Did a song with you.
Yeah, you did.
Didn't make
couple.
The album, but.
Yeah, we did a couple things. Those are still somewhere. Yeah, those are still somewhere. I think.
Song.
I think I just.
And in fact, I played with Georgie.
Yeah, George. Different times.
Yeah, I think you played. You recorded it with him, and then I came in later, right?
I kind of did the both with each of you the same. Like I got him in and did it with him, and then I got you in and did it with you.
I remember playing to the drums.
Yeah.
That were already recorded.
Yeah. It's a weird little thing. I'm glad we did it, you know?
Yeah, and the album's great. We'll play a song from next hour.
Yeah.
Although we're out of time here, so let's hold tight for hour three. January 7, 2007. It's the third hour of the Waffle from Pedro show. Sorry about that. Here's part two of Jack Flanders and the Ghost Island.
Hello, Mojo. You do, man.
How you doing, Joseph?
I am here. I am okay. You are okay?
I'm okay, and I'm still here, too.
A blue pelican for you?
Oh, sounds good. You know, Joseph, I was wondering about those islands you told me about.
The Ghost Islands?
Yeah. Has anyone ever set foot on them?
I have heard stories.
I'd like to hear them.
I think it's best if you hear from the mouth of one who has told me.
So Joseph gave me the name of a woman who lives out on the point. He seems to trust you, doesn't he? I think he's got his reasons. Anyway, the woman he told me about, her name is Rose Florentine. She has a little pink house perched up on a hill, looking down over the bay. Ah, man, it's a steep climb, with steps that go up and up and up some more. I don't know how she does it.
Huh?
I just gotta get out of breath just telling you about it.
Well, it probably keeps her in shape.
She was waiting with a pitcher of iced tea.
Would you like something to drink, Mr. Mojo?
That'll do me just fine, thanks.
We can sit out here if you'd like.
You got a nice view up here.
Joseph tells me that you're interested in the Ghost Islands. Are you writing an article?
No. I'm not a journalist.
Well, good. Publicity we do not need.
I got that impression from Joseph. In fact, the way he talked about them, it was like those islands are sacred.
Yes, they are. But why are you interested?
Well, I have a fascination for those strange little blips we sometimes see on the screen of what we think is reality.
Do you see reality?
Only through filters.
Do you accept what you see?
I think it's more like I see what I accept.
Yes, we are all like that.
You've seen the ghost islands?
Oh, yes, often.
You can see them from up here?
At times, yes.
What do they look like?
Like a mirage.
Shimmering? Ghostly?
Sometimes.
What time of day?
Well, usually at night, if there's a moon. And sometimes very early in the morning, just before the sun rises.
Have you ever been with someone and you could see the islands, but they couldn't?
Well, it isn't that they can't see them, they just don't.
Hmm. Have you seen the islands recently?
Yes.
When?
Yesterday morning.
Where?
Over there.
Huh. How many did you see?
Only one.
And then, did it just vanish?
It faded with the light.
There you are, Jack.
Oh, hi. Come on, sit down.
What were you doing?
Just watching seagulls.
Jack, I was thinking...
Oh?
We have room for one more.
One more what?
Person.
On the boat?
Where else?
Do you have someone in mind?
Yes. Someone who will keep you from being so bored.
Do they have experience sailing?
They do.
Do I get a say in this?
You are the capitaine.
Yeah, and you are the owner.
True.
So this new crew member, it isn't someone I know.
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Why do you say uh-oh?
This new crew member, does it speak French?
How did you know?
No. Don't tell me you invited that skinny Dominique.
Dominique? You think it's Dominique?
It's not?
Of course it is.
Oh, God. Not on board.
You said you were bored.
Not funny. Why Dominique?
Around Dominique, you're never bored.
That's because she knows how to get under my skin.
You need a thicker skin.
And Dominique smokes.
She has stopped smoking.
Since when does a woman from Montreal stop smoking?
Do I smoke?
Well, did you ever?
Of course.
Oh. Well, can Skinny swim?
Jack, don't call her that.
Well, what if something happens?
What happens?
Well, what if she accidentally topples overboard?
You are terrible.
But of all the women in Montreal you could have invited, why Dominique?
Are you bored now? No.
So I brought this on myself, huh?
But you always do.
I wonder how much of a splash she'll make.
Joseph says you knew someone who actually set foot on one of these islands.
Yes, but he is no longer with us.
Does that mean there's cannibals there?
No, no. He died years later. But he said it was like trying to step upon a mirage. And as he got closer, the island kept moving away.
But he finally succeeded.
Oh, he did.
The island, was it solid?
In its own way.
What does that mean?
Well, he was able to become part of the island, but not for very long. More tea?
Yes, thanks.
Now, Joseph tells me that you are a voodoo man.
No, a you-do man.
Oh, and what is that?
That's part yoga and part voodoo.
Oh, I see. Well, when you interact with your gods, the Loa or the Orisha, are you not opening yourself up to another layer or level of reality that some can feel and even see, but others cannot? And because they cannot, they do not believe it can exist.
I don't see how it figures in here.
Well, sometimes things are as solid as we are willing to allow them to be.
Well, that applies to everything we believe in.
Well, unless you try to sit on it.
You mean sit on what you believe to see how solid it is? Oh, man. If people did that, they'd be falling on their fannies all the time.
Oh, but they do, and they never even notice.
That's true, too. But is there any life on these islands?
Well, my friend, who has passed now, said there was a settlement on the big island.
You mean there's people living there?
Oh, I don't think so.
Hmm.
I mean, at least not what we would call people.
You mean spooks?
No, just not people.
Hey, the dinghy's gone. All right, who took the dinghy? Where is everyone? Claudine? Bunny? Mojo? Zero. They've all gone off on a dinghy ride.
Hello, Ma. What's happening?
Fast Freddy. Have you seen the gang?
What gang, Ma?
You know, my crew.
I see your woman.
Claudine?
She is in town. And Mojo, he is with Joseph.
At the Pelican's Pouch?
Yes, Pelican's.
What about the young girl, Bunny?
She go out.
She took the dinghy.
Yes, she go dinghy.
Well, I guess that explains that. Listen, Fast Freddy, I'm going into town. Will you keep an eye on things?
My best eye, I give you.
Thanks. I'll give it back. I promise.
This funk I'd fallen into was receding. Life was becoming much more interesting. And then...
Jack! I have arrived. I'm here. It is me, Dominique. Jack? Are you... Hello? Ah, there you are.
Dominique, what a pleasant surprise.
But you're not surprised. Claudine told you I was coming, yes?
She warned me.
I am so happy you asked me. I want a big hug, Jack.
Okay. Oh, my God. Have you been working out?
Of course. Look at my muscles.
You're skinnier than ever.
I don't eat.
I thought when people stopped smoking, they put on weight.
Who stopped smoking?
Wait a minute. You're still... Oh, great.
Quebecois women smoke.
No, they don't.
No? Oh.
Dominique, no smoking on this boat, please.
I smoke downwind.
Not on this boat.
Then what if I...
No.
Well, if I just...
No, no, no.
Are you finished?
No.
Then let me finish. I quit smoking.
You actually quit?
Aren't I wonderful?
Wonderful. Yeah.
Claudine said you are so bored, and my duty is to keep you from being so bored.
Claudine can be so helpful.
Show me around? Come on, Jack. Jump, jump.
Okay, okay.
Good. Nice jump.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
That's it.
The Missing Man, December 11, 2006, at the Globen.
Der Globen?
Yeah, in Stockholm, Sweden, doing a Red Crayola song, Conspirator's Oath. Mm-hmm. We played a bunch of stuff Tom had to do with, following part two of Jack Flanders in the Ghost Islands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. before that, was an old slovenly, what, 1983?
Earlier than that, maybe 81.
81?
Yeah.
With a song called Not Free?
Yeah.
One it was of actually, first recordings off a cassette.
Yeah, right? It was actually a Toxic Shock song that
the version of the band had a different drummer, Rob Holzman, and Tim Plowman was playing synthesizer on it, so it was basically slovenly.
Yeah.
At that time, doing a Toxic Shock tune.
Okay.
Transition phase.
Transition.
Never put that out on
anything. Before that, we played Corn Shovel by Overpass, the band that followed Slovenly, that you had with Bobby Ho and Scott Sigler.
Uh-huh. Produced by Mayo Thompson.
Did we do some gigs?
With Overpass? I don't think so.
No?
I don't think
we
did.
Never played together?
I don't know. I don't recall that.
I remember playing the cassette. First, before that album, there was a cassette.
Well, it was also on a CD, the New Alliance record, just the Overpass
the
record.
White one with the circle.
It has, it's a picture of the sidewalk.
Sidewalk.
Yeah, urban.
Then we had Drones and Themes, track one. That's an upcoming solo album by you?
Yeah, it's
work
just
in progress?
Yeah, a bunch of drone parts and, you know, repetitious beats and things like that.
Right. And started with Surfbird.
Yeah.
From your first solo album, Country and Watson.
That's right.
Right. You got to make a MySpace thing so people can hear these.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that record's been out for a while, huh?
About 6 years now.
6 years. Remember you working on it.
Yeah.
And you were going through cassettes to get this Slovenly thing going.
Uh-huh.
And you found something else with me and Kira playing with you, huh?
Yeah, that was like, I think
just
it was
me playing with you too, a soundtrack thing?
I have it written down here as a soundtrack to a film called Cell. C-E-L-L. And
here, take this.
1992 written next to it. So
92.
I guess that's when we did it. That was a long time ago.
15 years. Christ.
You're on 15th Street, I think, at that time. 14th Street.
Yeah, lived there 14 years.
Yeah.
One room pad. It had one outlet.
Yeah.
Whole pad, because it was built before electricity. It actually was up there downtown Vermont. And they moved it down here to Pedro and put electricity in it. Kind of Econo, like one outlet, a room. I called it the man boat because there's all a bunch of retired old dudes. Auntie Perkov owned it. So Vince Perkov lived in the front one. And Auntie was a big Slav guy here in town. Restaurant.
Yeah, hey,
very
restaurant.
Cool people. His son Tony's like took over the family, right?
Yeah.
He was a teacher when I was at high school for special ed guys.
Yeah, Tony Rock.
In fact, he let his room be used for a chess club at lunch. No. So, smoke them out, they'll play the chess.
Is it my turn? I don't know.
But no dice.
Yeah,
no. That was the good thing about it. No luck, right?
Yeah.
The best thing was when everybody kibitzing around and the party's over and you just have to sweat it there. No one wanted to tip the king, you know. Tony was great, but he runs the restaurant.
Yeah, that restaurant rocks.
Good, good, good. Yeah, Muscacholi.
Yeah, Pedro Chow.
Yeah, if you want a good Slav Chow.
Yeah.
Or just good Pedro Chow.
Nice.
Aunties. He used to always wear a carnation.
Yeah,
he
always had a carnation in his ear.
Yeah.
That's a look.
And he had boats, vans painted up like that.
Yeah, that was his logo.
Really?
Yeah, he's cool people.
He always had the biggest U.S. flag in town. That was his deal. He was very proud.
Nothing next to that one in Long Beach. That cat, he had like half a football field. Phone. Another Matt, he gets the phone mate going always during the show. Here we got a band called Liberty Cap Gun. Watch the Pedro show.
twitchy lady, so lovely with your short hair. Where do you come from? Where are you going? My friends think you're ugly.
Look, and when you can go only a man. You change from your play clothes. You put on your best suit. It keeps you in stitches and fits you like shiny skin on a fruit.
Watt from Pedro show. I believe that was called Sincerely. It's Tom found something on a cassette that I can't remember doing. And I guess Kira's on it, too. It sounded like her singing. Maybe there's two basses. I don't know. That's definitely Tom on the guitar, though. And it was something on the box. It says for the movie Cell.
Yes, 1992. C-E-L-L. Something you did, like in your old pad, you know.
On 14th Street.
Yeah. With headphones.
The one. Yeah, with headphones.
It was like really
so
tiny.
So it's a 4-track.
Yeah. It was your old
4-track. Yeah, Tascam 288. 488. 88. 888. 188.
5,000,088.
5,000,000. 3,000,088. Yeah, before Pro Tools. And it was something for a movie, I guess. I remember doing a soundtrack once with D. Boone and Georgie. And this kid from USC, I think it was called Hell, this movie.
This is Cell, that was Hell.
Yeah. I don't have a very extensive soundtrack career. But the guy, the way we did it was, we were practicing at the time, it was right before Project Mersh, and we were practicing in Jack Brewer's garage in Wilmington. And this kid comes down with a projector and a sheet, puts a sheet up on the wall, and he's got a recorder. He shows the movie, it's a 15-minute movie, and we just jam along to the movie. We didn't know what was coming, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this guy going to hell and the devil chasing him or something. And so, like, we're reacting to it in real time, you know, and yeah, it gets more intense, it gets off. The guy's trying to kind of conduct us with his hands, but we're watching the movie on the sheet, all wrinkled up. I think there's we did two takes, two tries, so the second time we kind of knew what was coming. But I think they've used the first one, and it was on the ballot result.
I think
it's on there.
Cool. It's kind of low budge.
Yeah, totally kind of. In fact, I remember seeing the movie at the, like they have a big screening at the school. And I remember going in there and seeing that. And I was like, whoa. Because it was way different than what we played to, but somehow they put it in, fit it in. And anyway, before that, we had Grant Hart, an old friend from Hooskers, with a song called Seika Knows. And before that, Brendan Benson with Me Just Purely. And we started with Liberty Cap Gun with song number 2. Again, in a different ring.
Different
wow. Bone phone. So, Tom, let's talk about your guitar playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We started the show off with Tom Verlaine. He's a big influence. But any others?
Sure. Lots. I mean, I just, you know, I kind of listen, whenever I hear something I like, it becomes an influence. I mean,
Early on,
you know, I loved The Who and
Pete Townsend,
I loved Hendrix, I loved Creedence Clearwater, I loved John Fogerty's guitar playing, the sound of it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I got really into glam and prog in the 70s. Like, I was really into Roxy Music. Phil Manzanera was one of my big heroes. And still is. I mean, love his guitar playing somehow. I liked Robert Fripp's guitar playing. And, you know, but then I just, everything kind of had some effect on me, you know. All rock guitar, you know. And folk
you
guitar,
did some bass and Toxic.
Yeah, I played a lot of bass too.
Half
a
slovenly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did that come?
Well,
later, right?
With Toxic Shock, I started playing the bass, and I mean, I'm a guitarist playing the bass, you know. So I started with guitar, and I love playing the bass. I think it's an incredible instrument. I think it's something that helps my guitar playing by playing the bass.
You actually have a dual neck.
Yeah. Guitar and bass, yeah, it's something you sit with, you know. You don't rock out on it.
Saul Cole made it for you?
Yeah. It's a beautiful guitar.
Shout out Portland.
We actually had two of those made. Scott and I had identical double neck Telecasters.
So you could switch
without switching.
Switch.
Exactly.
Right. It's a concept. But they're very heavy.
Very heavy.
Yeah.
I love the bass. I can't claim to be a good bass player, but I'd certainly love hearing great bass playing.
Pick, fingers.
Pick and fingers. I started with a pick and.
No, with guitar, you know. The thumb pick. When did that come around? From the beginning?
Not really. No, I mean I was going to say that John Fahey was a huge influence early on, like in the 70s. I would hear it, you know, my parents would play his music, and it had a big effect on the type of music that I wanted to learn, you know. And so I actually had some guitar lessons, and like when I was younger, learning how to finger pick, do things like that. And so even though I went on to play electric guitar mostly, like I always used a certain amount of finger picking here and there.
Yeah, Deep Boone used a lot of that. What did you think of his playing?
Oh, he's amazing, of course. Big influence for me.
Yeah.
You know, really dexterous, amazing, you know, agility with the big fingers that he had. You know, just really could fly all over the strings.
What are your best memories of him?
I have a lot of them, so I mean it's kind of hard to narrow it down. I think he's just an interesting person. Really had conviction in what he felt was important, and sweet person, big heart, amazing talent, great person. I wish I knew him better, you know, but I feel like, you know, what I knew was really, you know, decent person, great spirit, amazing player. Always loved playing with him.
You play Fenders a lot, but I remember there was a period where you had a Les Paul, huh?
Me or? Yeah. I still have a Les Paul. That neck is still broken.
Oh, that's what happened.
I mean, they just don't work for me.
The other Tele got stolen.
Yeah, I had a nice old Telecaster, which was removed from
Bixby.
My house. Yeah.
Donated.
I know I tend to play Fenders now. I mean, I have a couple Dan Armstrong guitars, which are amazing, but they don't work right live for me. They're just too fragile.
That twin we rented in Europe was good.
That was a great amp.
Like Fender amps.
Oh, yeah.
Played them a long
Always play
time.
Fender. You know, I mean, they just tend to be, they do the right thing for me. I mean, I love amps, too. I kind of have an amp
fetish,
and they're all in a storage bin somewhere, but, you know, I can't drag them around all the time, but Fenders just seem to work right for me.
Now, we started playing together with this band with Vince Maroney on drums called the Pair of Pliers, right?
That's right. In 2001? 2000?
2000.
2000? Yeah.
No, was it in 99? 1999? I think it was.
Really?
The band after the Black Gang.
Wow, okay.
Okay. And then I play again with you in 2000 with after my sickness with the John and Terry show.
Right, yeah.
The first was with Vince, a Pair of Pliers.
Yeah.
And I think we did an Overpass song.
We did an Overpass song.
Yeah. Blue Balls. Ball Busters.
Ball Buster. Ball Buster. It's instrumental.
It's a town called Blue Ball.
Yeah.
It's by Intercourse. It's Amish. It's in the center. By Lancaster. It's
right next to Intercourse.
Yeah. There's a newspaper you can buy, so you can tell from where you did.
Yeah. That area.
Probably a lot
of
bumper stickers sold there, too. But then I remember that tour. We played in Salt Lake City in the Sugar Hill, Sugar House part. Liquid Joe's or
Liquid
something.
Liquid Joe's.
And there's a pawn shop or whatever, thrift store
thrift
nearby.
Thrift store, yeah.
And you guys got these vests.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to have a stage. We wanted to have our uniform, you know. And they had all this hunting gear and, fluorescent orange jumpsuits and hooded sweatshirts and all kinds of things, and we found a couple of vests that seemed to be waterproof and, you know, not obstruct our arms too much, so they kind of became our little uniform for that tour.
You also had a shot at displaying your talent, Southern guitar. You played the encore. Tom would jump on the drums and Vince would play sax.
Yeah,
sing.
That was fun.
Like five songs.
Yeah. After playing a whole set on guitar, I have to wail on the drums.
It was like Coltrane and Stooges and Perubu.
Yeah.
And Minuteman.
Yeah.
He did that George Hurley riff for Joe McCarthy's Ghost.
Yeah.
I think he started off on that.
Right. And we also did Song for Igor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. From Ballhog.
Yeah.
And Vince. And then I got sick and almost died and came back. And the first tour was Enough with the Piss Bag tour with the John and Terry show. Is that where you guys drove back?
No, that was Vince and I. Vince. Yeah, that was when you did The Fog.
So that was 2000 then.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Although we might have done two tours with Vince.
Yeah, maybe
we
that's
did two
what
tours, yeah.
That was a whole 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like... I remember one was in 99, though.
Yeah.
There's one after the Black Gang.
Well, I think we did two tours with...
And then John and Terry, where Jerry Trepetich comes on the drums. And then there was a couple times where Second Men guys couldn't last.
Yeah, Pete Mantis had to come
couldn't
back.
Last, so Tom came and took over, which were real nightmares because... I mean, not for us, because we're still playing. But the guy that's going to take over, he'll prac with us for like 6 weeks. I mean, he's just got to come dive right in. And
start playing.
Tom, like, he came in. I remember he flew into Detroit. Pete has to fly out, but we do one gig together, so there's actually a four-man gig.
Yeah.
And then Pete flies back home to the keys at the cat food factory on Terminal Island.
Oh, yeah.
And tastes Tom good. Has to just start wailing on it after not playing with us for a month and a half.
Yeah.
Paul Rossler did that once, too. Yeah. Pete did do that twice. Mm-hmm. So I've done four tours with Tom. Now five with the new Missing Man. So he's up there with Ed from Ohio and D. Boone for most tours.
Working on it.
I don't think anybody's toured as much as
let's keep doing it.
Yeah, Tom's great tour cat. Mm. Only one gig he got sick at after, out of all them gigs.
Wow.
It's tough. Mm. Tom Watson, very dependable. Strong guy, unique voice. Singing voice and guitar voice. Really tough. And I know you're still working on it and developing it. And who would you like to play with if you could play with anybody?
I've been pretty lucky, I guess. I play with the people I like to play with. I've been really fortunate with that.
I mean, if there was some, like, player book.
Maybe with Tom Verlaine. I'd love to play with him sometime. Verlaine. Yeah, I'd love to try that, you know. That would be a trip, you know.
You hear that, Tom?
Yeah. We know you're listening.
Yeah.
No, I've been fortunate to play with the people I like to play with. I want to do something with Steve Shelley.
He won't hate you.
Exactly. Now, I would like to play with Steve Shelley, and I've done stuff with him where I'm playing bass, but I want to do some guitar and drums with him. So that's something I really want to do.
Yeah, Steve's a great drummer, man.
Yeah.
I once got to do a thing with him where we did a Daniel Johnson song.
And
then I mashed up two Beatles songs. Did Tomorrow...
Tomorrow Never Knows? Never,
but I hated the words, so I used the words to Glass Onion. The vile. I don't know. He was into it. We called it Lucky Sperms.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
That's a good title.
Yeah. I think it had a lady eating a banana on it.
Yeah, right. It's a petty bone. Was it a petty? No, it wasn't. No, it was someone else.
Something Steve put together. I think like Dada put pictures on each other.
Oh, okay.
It was actually the first time I've done Walking the Cow with, I mean, I've done it with you. I've done it with like 15 different people. That was the first one.
Yeah.
Who do you like who's playing right now? You know, bands?
Yeah. Players? You know, I hate to sound so vague. I just kind of, you know, I want to hear something new, I think. I haven't been all that, like, I don't really know what's going on these days, you know.
Yeah,
I need to get out and listen to more things. And
glad kids give me CDs at the gigs.
Yeah.
Truly. Well, a little something about your daytime thing. You've gone up, right? You're a director now?
Well, I work in an art gallery, and I do whatever needs to be done. But, you know, it's just kind of like trying to sell art, but mostly just tending to the space and making sure the art is hung and you have the next show in order and keeping things rolling.
Joe Baez,
Yeah, he works, I think he still works for Cook's Crating.
Yeah, he actually puts them in the box.
Yeah, he does like shipping and handling. I used to work at a place called LA Packing, which is the same as Cook's Crating. It's just a warehouse handling, you know, storage and shipping and all that, you know.
Pretty intense.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I remember seeing a piece at the SF MoMA that was incredible, like it was three stories high.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
right.
You know,
blown apart.
All
like,
the notes.
Yeah, right.
You know, how all the, because they got to reassemble this stuff.
Bubble wrap the whole thing.
It was gigantic.
Yeah,
like
toothpicks.
7, 8 of
you
these
know,
dads.
Yeah.
And high.
Yeah.
Get this all into crates and then redo it again like the artist intended it.
Well, yeah.
Harder than setting up a bass amp. Playing tonight with Carrie here in town. Oh, yeah, I should talk a little about the gig last night. It was weird. Perkins did this drum off.
Yeah. What was that? Exactly. Drum off. Like, who else was drumming?
Well, it was a bunch of young kids, but then there was the guy from Blink 182. Now, he broke his arm, so they rigged up a trigger so he could play the snare drum with his foot.
So kind of like Def Leppard style.
Kind of. He had his arm in his air, though. He was playing foot. His name was Travis. It was pretty incredible that he was doing it. It was hard to do, though. The rolls, he had to do the rolls all with one hand. So, he's whooping it out.
Yeah,
you know.
Egg beater.
But he was, and they had Bobby, you know, this band, the Street Drum Corps. They were really good. But they didn't mic him.
Oh.
So he's playing all these garbage cans and auto parts and stuff. He's like, he was kind of sabotaged. Tom, thanks for coming on
the
show.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank
you
for inviting me.
Yeah.
Jamming with both Matt, playing your music.
Yeah, it's always nice to come
down. Can't wait to play again. We got a benefit for skateparkthedogood.org association down in San Diego on the 27th of January. So, and then I got Stooges to do. But then when I get done, we come back and play some more.
Yeah. Look forward to it.
Again, this is January 7th, 2007, edition of Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.